Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the WGC Workday Championship, do some quick thoughts on the Puerto Rico Open, and get you ready for your DraftKings lineups this week. You can find the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. I'm on Twitter at BDEntric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFSGolfGods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Doing well. How you doing?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby. And we brought another piece to the puzzle tonight, a frequent guest, or should be a frequent guest of the show, but he was on a couple weeks ago. Plan on having him on more, as I said, so he's back again. You can find him on Twitter at Kevin's Delight. Kevin, how we doing, man?
Doing great, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. Good to see you.
Glad you're here, Kevin.
Yeah, as long as we can make this work, I'd like to make this a frequent thing, so that's pretty fun, and I'm really looking forward to it when we get into concessions here, because you played, or the concession, I should say, probably like the Ohio State University. We'll talk about that course, but real quick, we'll do our usual recap. The Riv was wild. The Riv was very wild, especially on Saturday. The PGA lost the course, so it got a little crazy there. Jesse, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts on the week? And you know, the playoff was awesome. I don't know how Homa chipped it out from that tree, but that was amazing.
Yeah, that was that will be one of the best tournaments of the year. It's the best tournament so far this year, but obviously we're not that far into it. Riviera is an awesome golf course. You know, I really feel like if somebody invited me to play it, I would go play it. You know, yes, Saturday was weird, man. Like, obviously the wind was forecast to be high. I mean, since like the beginning of the week, I remember seeing some tweets about it, and then I don't know what, if it was worse or whatever, but for whatever reason, yeah, we had that stoppage on Saturday, but ended up being a great finish. you know, two likable guys in Max Homa and Tony Finau in the playoff. And I mean, one of the best shots I've ever seen anybody hit with Max Homa off from that tree. But just a great week, man. Overall, it was really fun to watch.
What about you, Kevin? Have you played the Riv?
I have not played the Riv. No, okay. I was talking about that the other day with someone, but it's always one of the best on the calendar every year. Great early season tournament. And even though Sam Burns had a pretty massive lead, even through half of the way through on Saturday, it doesn't let you run away and hide. It's always pretty tight at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was kind of one of those where if you're just on Twitter, Finau, like obviously Kevin had a Finau ticket, so I was pulling for Kevin in that respect, but he still did good this week, so that's fine. But like we're all rooting for Finau. Like we talk about him all the time. We want him to get the W, and he shoots a 64. It's like he shot the round of the tournament basically. And it's like, man, like, what's it going to take for this guy? It's like you got to get rid of the narrative that he chokes on Sundays, because he did not choke on Sunday at all. But Homa was just throwing darts out there on a very difficult golf course. It was fun to watch. Like Jesse said, like you said, Kevin, it was some impressive golf, and it helped, I guess, having it be Tigers tournaments. You're going to get the big dogs there every year, which is going to be fun. Any other thoughts? We had a lot of guys miss the cut. So any other thoughts on the Genesis, Kevin?
I mean, it was a pretty damn good sweat coming down the end there. You know, Homa getting up and down out of the bunker on 17 for birdie, and then stiffing on 18, and everyone that had a Finau ticket was like, done. There's no chance that, you know, Homa's walking off the 72nd hole of the championship. It's never going to a playoff. And then he misses it, drives it up against a tree, and all the Finau backers like, all right, we're live. It's going to happen. And just a crazy, 45 minutes of emotions there.
Yeah, no, it was wild. I loved it. It was fun sitting down and watching it. It's like Sunday, I got to watch the little one while she played. I just had golf on. I was like, okay, this works. This will work today. Any final thoughts, Jesse? Are you good with Riviera?
I'm good with it, dude. It was. I think that it deserves a major championship, a U.S. Open or something, because that golf course plays great, just firm and fast. You don't have to have that much rough. So. It also proved to me, like, it's just we don't need a every single week throw darts into soft greens on the PGA Tour. Best tournament of the year. I mean, it'll be up there with some of the majors, I believe.
My only final thought on Riv is that the 18th hole, I saw someone tweet the other day, so it was the best 18th hole on the tour, and I highly disagree with that. For as good as the golf course is, if they could do anything to that golf course, they'd have to do something to 18 and make it just a little bit more challenging.
Like if they want to say it's got a cool backdrop, okay, that's nice. Like, got the clubhouse up there, you're coming up the hill. That's cool. But, yeah, in reality, and I couldn't do it because I'm not accurate hitter off the tee, but if you can just find the fairway, most of these guys have a shot to come into the green. It's like it's not super complicated for a lot of them. So it's I almost prefer, like, give me those par fives where they have to go over water into or lay up. Give me those challenging kind of approaches. There's many others we could probably talk about there. But lastly, on Jesse's point, seeing a U.S. Open during the summertime in L.A. when it's 100 degrees would be freaking amazing. It'll bake that course out. That thing will be electric. And then also, I thought I heard them say it's like 2028 or something, the Olympics are going
to
be there.
Right. That whenever it comes to L.A., that's where they're going to play the Olympics.
So that'll be insane to watch. So, it'll be some pretty cool stuff. We'll definitely be talking about that when we're still hanging around. But let's get to the WGC Workday Championship, usually in Mexico, but obviously that's not happening this year. We have a field of 72 golfers, a no-cut event. It's like top 30 in the world, or top 30 FedEx, and some of the best in Europe, some of the best in Asia. No, normal WGC-type stuff. But, Kevin, let us know about the concession par 72 golf course.
Yeah, it's a tough track. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this week, although Chapultepec was really starting to be one of my favorite watches every year. I thought that course was pretty fun to watch every year. At altitude, it was pretty neat to see these guys bomb it, but have plenty of tree trouble. Won't see as much tree trouble at the concession. Par 72, four par fives, four par threes, and the rest par fours. Some big holes out there. Even the par fives, they're not all gettable. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the guys attack the course this week. Personally, for me, it's going to be a big shot makers golf course, the second shot and approach shots into the par fives. It's massive. Water everywhere, waste areas, sand, greens that fall off at all sides on the majority of the greens. It's a tough track, and it's going to be really fun to watch this week.
Yeah, it's a Jack Nicklaus course, and the way you describe it, I've heard others describe it, the challenging aspects of it, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Muirfield. Do you see like any relationship to the challenges of Muirfield, or does it look even harder to you?
It seems harder. You know, I haven't had a chance to play Muirfield yet. I've played the concession. Some folks have said Bay Hill, Quail Hollow, Jack's Place. So, yeah, you can see some correlation there. I think it's even going to be more difficult than those tracks.
Ooh, electric. I love it. With all that being said, Jesse, what kind of stats are you looking for this week?
I mean, it's so hard to say. I'm going with more accuracy than distance and or power. You know, a couple of interesting things that, you know, somebody tried to compare it a little bit to Riviera last week where the greens are, you know, similar as far as being elevated. So you have to have a good short game, but the one person made a point on Twitter that, you know, with the Kikuyu at Riviera, it held a lot of balls up from getting into trouble. Whereas, with the dormant Bermuda, you know, I played when Kevin was on, I was in Florida playing golf, and we played on basically what I really amount to dirt, because the ball, once it hits, it just goes. I mean, like, there's no stopping it. There's nothing to stop it when you get on the storm of Bermuda. I'm sure that they'll have some overseed, and it won't be like just completely runways everywhere, but you know, the ball is going to run out. And of course, I don't know how much, you know, rain has been around there. It's Florida. I'm sure they've had plenty of rain, but it'll be interesting to see. So yeah, accuracy. I think short game matters this week quite a bit, but I'll probably also lean on bogey avoidance more so than, you know, birdie or better percentage, just to kind of be a little bit safe. But if you want to play it both ways, I could see that as well.
Yeah, bogey avoidance sounds pretty important on this course, if these big numbers can be had out there. But also, as Kevin mentioned, like a lot of the par fives are not really gettable in two, and some of these other like shot makers type stuff. So, you know, maybe 150 to 200 type approach coming in, maybe wedge game. It's going to be interesting to see because we've never seen these guys play here. So how much do they trick it out? How much do they want to see scoring? It's going to be interesting, but it seems like as much as they want to see scoring, it's still going to be very complicated to score at this golf course. Before we get into DraftKings picks, FanshareSports.com, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 25% off the package of your choice. We got Bermuda Greens, last 10 events on Bermuda Greens when it comes to DK scoring. Leading the field, Webb Simpson, Xander, JT, Thomas Dietrich, Rory, and Berger get you there. If you do the last 10 events on courses this size of par 72 over 7,400, JT, Rory, Sungjae, welcome back, Sungjae. Victor, Rahm, and Thomas Dietrich is here again. And last but not least, last 10 events, WGC events with this field, DK scoring, Rory, JT, DJ, Kisner, and Brooks Koepka. So best of the best, as you'd expect when we look at this whole layout. But let's get into the DK scoring. 10K and above, DJ at 11.6, John Rahm at 11.1, Xander 10.8, JT at 10.5, Rory 10.4, Cantlay 10,000. Jesse, kick us off. What are you seeing in the 10K range?
I'm just going to kind of start with Xander. 10.8. That's where I'm kind of leaning this week, just based on stats. Obviously, coming off the 15th place finish last week at the Genesis, two straight second place finishes before that. And the guy tends to kind of show up in like no cut type of event. So 10.8 for him. And then Cantlay at 10,000, man. I hope he gets overlooked by the rest of these guys. He didn't have a great weekend at all last week. I mean, you know, he shot one over par, which is not terrible. But on Sunday, whenever a lot of people were going low, he kind of got run over. So I hope that he's a little bit lower owned than he otherwise would be, because coming into this, obviously, third and second in the 2 weeks prior to the Genesis, and hasn't finished outside the top 20 since the CJ Cup back in October, and has a W in there. So I like Cantlay quite a bit at 10,000.
Yeah, what about you, Kevin?
Yeah, I go Cantlay first, and followed by Rahm, then X. I put in the Slack last week that I was going to die on the Rory Hill, and fortunately I came off of him quite a bit and didn't get beat up too bad. But, man, he's lost it. I think I even 2 weeks ago I said Rory's a 5 handicap with a wedge in his hand. and man, he's not looked good for one of the best players in the world. And so I'll probably have a fairly big fade of Rory this week. But I'd go Cantlay, Rahm, and X.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You look at some of these best guys in the world. I bet you guys even are pretty good golfers, obviously. You know, you go within, you know, 100 to 120 with a wedge, you guys are probably at least hitting the green and doing something. Rory's having trouble doing that right now. So it's getting pretty dicey out there with Rory. But we're kind of all on the same page here. I have Rom, X, and Cantlay written down for me. Rom's just that guy because it feels like if people want to spend up, they're just going to go all the way to DJ. So Rom kind of might get this low ownership there, and he had a heck of a round on Sunday. He always hangs around in these type of events. He's done well at Jack's courses, and he finds ways on tough courses to not blow up. Like, he'll have a bad hole here or there, maybe a couple bad holes, but he finds a way to keep it in. He's got a really good short game. I think Rom at 11-1, if you're going up, I'd go there. I love X. I talk about it in no-cut events all the time, and he finds a way to do it time and time again at courses and events like this. And then Cantlay, I agree with everything you guys said. 10K, all these guys are elite golfers, obviously, so if you can get the cheapest one at probably pretty darn low ownership, you have nothing to lose here. And it's going to be really interesting to see recency bias. Like Jesse mentioned, Cantlay had a bad weekend. There's a lot of guys we're going to talk about here that they blew up on Saturday because of the conditions. So their finishing position, and people just look at that, like T34, 48. They're going to think they had a horrible week, and it was just like they had a bad 3 hours. It was just tough out there. So that'll be interesting as well. 9K range, you got Bryson at 99, Finau 98, Hatton 96, Kepka 95, Hovland 94, Berger 93, Reed 92, Simpson 91, Morikawa, who changed his putting grip and still could not putt at 9,000. Kevin, what do you like in the 9K range?
Well, I've already placed two of my bets for the week here in this range with Webb and Brooks. Pretty good numbers this morning. And for me, feeling like it's going to be not U.S. Open type scoring, but definitely where par is more of a premium. I like those two guys here. I do like Morikawa. I like the way he really grinded to make the cut on Friday. I know his putting was terrible, but a place like this where we're hitting greens and not having to shoot 15, 16, 17 under par is probably going to benefit him some. So I do like Webb, Brooks, Morikawa, and then I will play Finau again. It's going to happen soon, and this might be the place again where maybe 7 to 11 under par wins this thing.
Yeah, it is going to happen for Finau. My only concern this week is how is between his ears right now, because that was a tough one. That was a really tough one, but I'm with you. It's coming, and ownership should be pretty low at $9,800. Jesse, what do you like in the 9K range?
Yeah, definitely Finau at 98. I think we've talked about it, or at least maybe I've talked about it with my buddies, like that basically with Finau, it's going to have to be a come-from-behind win, which he almost got, and then on a place where it's not a putting contest. And we got that last week, right? The scores were 12 under, but still, I mean, that's not a 20 under par, tournament. Three straight second place finishes for Finau. I mean, just insane.
64 on Sunday is pretty damn good.
I mean, yeah, that's bogey, ridiculous.
Bogey free. I don't think he missed a putt inside 10 feet.
Yeah, he was second in the field in putting on Sunday.
And the strokes game putting on Sunday, and then fifth, I think, tee to green. I mean, just a superb round from him. But then also Hatton at 96, been playing mostly on the European Tour or whatever, but 6th, 22nd, 1st, and 8th in his last four starts. I don't think he's going to be not popular, but a Berger at 93. I mean, obviously coming off a W, then he withdrew last week. I like him quite a bit. And then Webb, too. Colin Morikawa, I think, is interesting at 9,000. He had a terrible start last week and bounced back pretty well to make the cut and just kind of floundered over the weekend. Didn't have a very good Sunday round at all, but seemed to figure it out a little bit better than what he was doing on Thursday. So I think he's interesting at 9,000. Are you on Pat this week?
Yeah, I love Pat on courses like this, like where you don't have to go super low, where you can grind it out. This is a Pat Reed situation. At $9,200, I'm a big fan of Pat Reed this week. And that's
all right.
I've done it many times. I live and die with Reed. There's no doubt about it. But when it's an event, when it's an event he can grind out, he doesn't have to go birdie festing. I like Pat Reed quite a bit. So I think this is an interesting one at $9,200. He's taken a few weeks off from the cheating scandal. So we're good. Never mind. He doesn't care. Like, he doesn't even listen to that stuff. So I think he'll be good to go on that one. I like the Morikawa stuff you guys mentioned because I think he comes in super low owned after last week's just destruction from what people hoped he could do. But he also was one of the top guys in the field tee to green like usual. So like Kevin and Jesse said, is if he's still hitting the ball like normal, you know, Par's a good score here where he needed more birdies last week. Like, so that could be intriguing with Morikawa. I like Hatton quite a bit at $9,600. I'm kind of hoping usually in these kind of fields, the Euro guys kind of get overlooked a little bit. We'll see if Hatton gets overlooked. He might not. But Brooks, big game hunting. He's always in play. His 9K range is loaded. The last guy I'll mention, because you can make arguments for all of them, I'm going to keep riding the Hovland train. He finished T5. He had an awesome Sunday, and he missed a lot of putts. It could have been really awesome on Sunday. I don't think he bogeyed. I think he 4-under, bogey-free round. He's playing really good golf right now, and his short game's getting a little better, which could was his biggest problem. So I think Hovland at 94 is interesting as well. So it's one of those – we talked about it kind of like last week on the show. If you don't want to go to the 10K range, you can go two or three guys in the 9K range and make some damage. So it could be interesting. 8K range, Fleetwood 89. Sungjae is back. I've never seen this guy take that many weeks off in a row at $8,800. Cam Smith, 87. Man, you never cut that mullet. Never cut it. Max Homa, 86. Fitzpatrick, 85. Matts, 84. Scheffler, 83. Scott, 82. Neiman, 81. And Zalatoris down to 8,000. I can't wait to see his ownership at that price. Jesse, what do you got here?
Start with Sungjae at 88. Obviously, off a couple weeks, you gotta think he's been getting massages. Maybe moving stuff into the house he bought in Atlanta.
Did he buy a house finally?
Yeah, he bought a house in Atlanta.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's probably why he took the 2 weeks off. I don't know why he would skip the Genesis, but whatever. I think Cam Smith's fine. I think he'll be pretty popular, though. Fitzpatrick, man, how did we miss that last week, Bubba? Like,
I was mad at myself because then once I saw how tough Genesis was playing, like, that's why I'll be on him this week. He's perfect in kind of grinded out events. He is – He hates to live under par, but he likes to grind out birdies. Like, it's one of those things. So
I mean, this is
perfect. Yeah, I screwed that one up badly.
He hit 50% of the greens last week and still finished fifth.
Yeah. His short game's pretty electric.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, he played really well, obviously, too, on Saturday in the wind, which made up a lot of strokes. But and then Neiman at 81, he had an absolutely atrocious round in the wind on Sunday or Saturday. Didn't back it up. I mean, one over par on Sunday, but I'll go back to him. And then, of course, Zalatoris at 8,000. I mean, come on,
your
dude.
Boy.
This is a complete underprice on him. This is ridiculous. You know, but we've been getting steady, you know, decreases, and he just keeps making cuts. Finished 15th last week, shot 67 on Sunday. Give me all the will this week. I may one and done him.
Oh, boy. you mentioned Neiman. Neiman's one of those guys I was talking about. If people look at the finishing position last week, they won't see the whole story. So he had a great Thursday, Friday. Kevin, who you liking in this 8K range?
Yeah, the first guy I gravitate towards is Fitzpatrick. One, ownership. People just don't play him.
No, they never do.
He'll be low owned, especially when you got guys like Hideki and Cam Smith and Fleetwood priced around the same as him. So definitely Matt Fitzpatrick. And Joaquin Neiman are my two favorite plays in this range.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick, we're all on board there, so it'll be a sink or swim type deal. I love the Neiman call as well. So those are two guys that I really, really enjoy. We talk about Sungjae a lot in Birdie Fest. I guess he's one of those dudes that can get streaky, so be interesting to see there. Question for you guys, because we've seen another guy that can get streaky, but he's coming off back-to-back good starts after kind of some question mark ones. Scotty Scheffler's 83. Any love for him, Kevin?
Not for me yet. He just doesn't check the boxes for me, and I won't have much of him.
What about you, Jesse?
I'm good. I'm just not a Scotty guy. After that one time when he shot like 80 on Thursday, it's really difficult for me to get over that. Let me ask you guys this. Is Matt Fitzpatrick the new Tommy Fleetwood?
No, I think Fitzpatrick wins before Fleetwood.
Fitz has won, hasn't he?
Not on the PGA Tour, I don't think.
I have to look at that.
Let's find
out.
Yeah,
that's a good. Yeah, Jesse, you got the Labs thing right in front of you or something. That's a good question. I don't think he's won on tour unless it was like a smaller event. But I think Fitz is better than Fleetwood personally. Like, I love Fleetwood's personality because Fitzpatrick's kind of like quiet. But if you listen to Fitzpatrick on Barstool's Foreplay podcast, he's very funny and he pranks those guys all the time. Yeah. So he's got a personality.
He finished second at the Arnold Palmer back in 2019. Going back further than that, I mean, I don't see anything as far as a W for him on the PGA Tour. He won the European Masters in 2018.
He won it last year, too, or whatever. The one that gives him the big scepter thing that he carries around.
He won it 2 years in a row, 2017, 2018. I don't think he's won since then, though, that I can see here. Just looking back through his – yeah, I mean, like a bunch of second-place finishes. I mean, very Tommy-esque, in my opinion. But he does have the European wins. But – I don't know. I mean, like, he's very Fleetwood E for me whenever, you know, he plays really well, but then just doesn't get the W's.
Yeah. That's a good call, though, Kevin. I think
He won the DP World Championship
a couple weeks ago.
A month ago. Yeah. 2 months ago.
Yeah. That's the one who gets the big scepter. I remember seeing the pictures.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he does good on the Euro Tour. He hasn't pulled it off. He hasn't won on the PGA, but it's, I think he gets it before Fleetwood. That'd be a lot of fun. And then if Cam Smith's low owned like he always is, I will have shares of Cam Smith. They never respect him. Like him and Fitzpatrick, you can play those two and then take all the chalk you want because they'll never get ownership. 7K range, just do the whole 7K together since we're a little smaller. Jesse, what are you seeing here?
What about Justin Rose at 7,700? I mean,
is that a disrespectful thing or what?
I don't know. I mean, he's been like around in this price range in these big events, like at the Masters, he was 7,700. Zozo, he was 7,400. CJ, 7,800. So, I mean, I don't think it's disrespect. He's not played that well. He's just not over the last year. If you put all things together, it's not great. But he did finish second at the Saudi International, the Bonesaw Invitational there a couple weeks ago. So I think he's fine. Robert McIntyre, another guy off the European Tour, been playing well from a stats perspective. Lines out. Kokrak at 7,100. I mean, he was in contention, and then 74-74 over the weekend. In the wind, just hope it doesn't blow like that in Florida this week, because obviously the wind is not something he likes, and that's what I got in the 7Ks.
What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, Rosie, too. I made three bets this morning. He was one of the guys I went to. So, so far, Koepka, Webb, and Rosie are three guys that I bet on for this weekend. I think it could be a good Louis track as long as he's packed his proper bed to travel with. He'll be in good shape. Also,
Let me ask you something real quick, Kevin.
Yeah.
Would you ever not associate a Tempur-Pedic bed with Louis Oosthuizen?
It'd be hard not to.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's great. couple guys that I will not play at all: Bubba. You know, Riviere's a Bubba track and miscut and. Really wasn't all that spectacular at Waste Management. I know he had a top 25, maybe 22nd finish, but really was never really there. Don't see any need to play Bubba this week. And probably won't play Kisner. I don't feel like it's a Kisner track. You know, he talks about places where he can't win. This is probably one of those places where he shows up to collect that WGC check. So two guys that I would try and avoid if I were you guys.
Yeah, Kisner likes shorter tracks. This is not a short track. So it's going to be if you want to make an argument for Kiz, he'll be able to keep it and play a little more and grind it out maybe. But if he has one or two blowups, he can't make it up like some of these other guys can. I like the Oosty call quite a bit. I think he's another one that could be fun this week. Rose, I'm with you guys 100%. I'm just scared he's going to be super high owned. That's my only concern there. Kokrak, I don't mind. Palmer, I love in no-cut events. I've said it every time. The dude will blow up like two or three holes, but then he'll go on a birdie fest, and he'll just get you DK points. Don't worry about his finishing position. He'll get you a ton of DK points. Doesn't matter how hard. He did it at the U.S. Open. He's done it at hard courses, easy courses. It's what Ryan Palmer does. So $7,200 I like. And then I'll ask you this one, Kevin. What about English at 75?
Man, after his win, he's been garbage.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't been very good. Seems like a good track for him. We're par is premium. I'll probably dig into it a little bit more. But as of now, I don't have a star next to his name.
Yeah, no, that's why I wanted to bring that one up. And then lastly, I'm going to look into it some more. I'm intrigued by Ortiz this week just because he can get hot, but he had that bad Thursday. Friday played great. Thursday, not so much. 6K range. Kevin, what are you looking at down here? There's obviously loaded field, lots of options.
Yeah, right at the top, Lee Westwood. Could be a good track for Lee. Again, we said it before, pro shots into the green, pars are good scores, and Lee definitely fits that mold. Gary Woodland at 6,800 is pretty low price for a guy who can be pretty good around this place. The Burn could be a good play. Talking about European Tour guys who have a little bit less ownership from time to time, Burn's a good play. And that's kind of where I am right now. If you want to get super cheap, a guy named David Lipsky played okay last week, played okay at Saudi. I had him a couple years in a row down at Chapultepec, and a couple years ago he was really good. If you're looking for a cheap $6,000 guy, then don't overlook David Lipsky.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit. Jesse, what do you like down the 6K range?
Yeah, what about Answer being 68? Seems like a low price on him. I know he's coming off the missed cut last week. Played the Saudi 53rd and then 5th at the American Express. So, I mean, you know, but 68, I feel like there's a lot of upside there with Answer. Rasmus Højgaard at 67, I think is a guy. Lanto at 67 as well. Another dude who can go low and he's below 7K. So I like that quite a bit. Munoz at 65. Is it Brendan Todd week, Kevin?
Man, I don't know. That's a tough one. I won't be on him.
He doesn't seem long enough to me, but I can
go ahead and scratch him off the board then. But yeah, I also like Lipsky down at the bottom too. I was looking at that price. I think that's a, you know, I mean, relatively speaking, a low price on Lipsky there.
If you're going to try and play three of those $9,000 guys, which you could easily do, then put Lipsky in there and you'll be just fine.
Yeah,
I like that. He will not be the worst $6,000 guy. I can assure you that.
No, like I like the Lanta call, I like the Højgaard call. What about Munoz? We know he can be streaky as heck. He got at least make, you know, you don't want to talk about thinking Tempur-Pedic with Usti. Now Flex Seal with Munoz, that was an electric sponsor. It felt like he was on 10 Cup. That was some good stuff right there.
That's one of the most random things I've ever seen on a PGA Tour shirt. Not like, you know, obviously there's a lot of Asian guys in particular who have a bunch of stuff on there that I don't know what it is. But when you show me some Flex Seal, I know what that is. You know, us Americans know what Flex Seal is.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. If you want to go to 6,200, I think Herbert is a very intriguing one. He can play pretty well also down low if you're looking for another value besides Lipsky. I like Lipsky. I had him written down as well, but both of those are two guys. The one guy I'll ask you guys about, he's been in a massive funk. We've seen him play well at WGCs, even at Chapultepec. EVR $6,200. Anybody.
Yeah, I was just clicking on his name. I mean, the problem is the form coming in, but luckily, you know, obviously it's a no-cut event. Missed cut, 56th missed cut in his last four PGA Tour starts, which are his last four starts. I mean, basically, he's made one cut this year, which was the American Express, and he finished 56. So, if for what it is, $6,200, I think it's worth a shot. If you're playing 150 lineups, you know, you may take 2 or 3% of him, but I mean, I probably won't play him because I'm probably going to play some three maxes in single entry. So,
for sure. All right, let's recap things real quick. 10K and above, Kevin, who's your number one play up there?
Number one, I'm going to go with Rom.
What about you, Jesse?
Xander.
Well, then we mixed it all up. I'll go Cantlay. 9K range, Jesse, who's your top play?
Finau.
Kevin?
I'd go Finau, then Brooks.
I'm going to go Reed. This is going to be a painful week. I can already tell. 8K range. Kevin, who you got?
Fitzpatrick and Neiman.
I like that. What about you, Jesse?
I'll say Sung Jae and Will Zalatoris, my dude. Been on him since middle school.
I'm going to go Fitzpatrick and Neiman, too. I really like the two there. But you did Neiman, so I'll go Fitzpatrick, Cam Smith. I'll mix it up. 7K range. Jesse, what are you liking there?
I think Rose, another guy I didn't talk about much, coming off the missed cut, Sergio Garcia. I think this is a good bounce back spot for him. I'll take him at 75.
Kevin, what about you?
Yeah, I'd go Rose and Usti.
Rose and Usti. I like Usti and give me some Palmer. 6K range, Kevin, who's your guy?
Go Lee Westwood. Being at the top of that, the top of the list, I think he goes overlooked a little bit.
What about you, Jesse?
I'll say Answer with Lanto there, close second.
Yeah, I'm going to go Lanto, and then I didn't mention him, but there's something like pulling me to Kevin Na this week. Like at $6,800, just kind of be sitting there, no ownership. I don't know. I'll probably make a mistake with that too, but looks interesting. If you guys, we always pressing, we don't condone cash games on short fields like this, no cut events. It's just a wild endeavor. So GPP, Kevin, if you're starting out a GPP lineup, give me three guys you're starting out with.
I go Brooks, Webb, and Leishman.
What about you, Jesse?
Will Zalatoris, Xander, and then probably somebody down low like Lanto.
Yeah, I like that. I'll go Cantlay, Reed, and Fitzpatrick, and I'll figure out the rest from there. But that's where I'll start. Picks to win. Kevin said he's made three bets already, so that's good. Who do you think wins it, though, Kevin?
Oh, gosh. I could easily see Brooks being fully back and taking this thing down.
That'd be awesome. I'll be running around next Monday if that's the case. Jesse, who do you think wins this thing?
I mean, I don't know. Like that, some of the odds I'm looking at there, Patrick Reed at 30-1. I actually clicked on him before we started this show. Fitzpatrick at 50, I don't think is terrible. If you want something like super long, Lonto at 150-1.
Yeah, I think Pat Reed. It would just be the total heel situation, coming off the W at Farmers, disappearing for a few weeks, then winning this event. Oh, that'd be so amazing. So I like Reed quite a bit. I love the Brooks call, though. That would be pretty good stuff, too. So, yeah, I'll go with Reed for now. This is going to be a definite fun one. You should take Willie Z, like a top 10 for, like, probably 6-1 or something. Easy money for you.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
All right. Let's talk Puerto Rico real quick. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is it will not be in Junkies this week. Anyone paying attention? Not in Junkies this week. But it'll be a fun week. It'd be nice if DK actually had some real competition in their contest. But we have a lot of Euro players here and some pretty good other players as well. So I'm just going to read off the price ranges and just give me like your top thought right out the gate. So we'll start with you, Kevin. 10K range, you have Tomas Peters 11-4, Matt Wallace 10-8, Griot 10-6, Poulter 10-4, Brandon Grace 10-1.
Yeah, I think you go your boy Poulter.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking. Jesse, what about you?
Griot.
If Griot can putt, he could do it here, but I'm going Poulter. Poulter, he's been talking trash on the Euro Tour, and this is just getting him ready for his Florida swing, where I'm going to play him too many times at low eights and high seven prices. So that's going to happen a lot. 9K range, we got Putnam. Benny on at 97 seems like chalk city. Yeah. Tom Lewis, 95. Rogers, 94. Vegas, 93. Brandon Wu, Sig, Sue. What do you got here, Jesse?
Putnam.
Kevin.
Patrick Rogers.
This is a good range. Like I've played around and made a lineup earlier with three guys from up here. But if I had to pick two, Brandon Wu and Justin Sue, give me those two. I'm telling, like, the way I think about these kind of events, Corn Ferry, Birdie Fest. That's what this is, and that's what these boys do. So that's my two cents. 8K range, you got Ollie, Riley, Glover, Pendrith, Ryder, Sloan, Taylor, Hodges, Wilkinson, Teeter, and Will Gordon at 8K. Kevin, anything here?
Sam Ryder.
Yeah, I like that. Jesse?
Sam Ryder was the guy I was going to say, too. Another couple just to consider, Lee Hodges, Josh Teeter.
Yeah, your boy Teets. I'm going to throw it out there because I was following the Corn Ferry Tour on Twitter quite a bit this weekend because it was pretty entertaining where they were playing. And Pendrith, he had a rough weekend, but he still finished like T15 or something. But he's been a machine on the Corn Ferry Tour of late. So he's interesting to me. 86. I'm not going to read off the 7K range. If you guys have it in front of you, that's great. If not, we'll skip it. But any interest in anybody in the 7K range, Jesse?
Cameron Percy.
That stood out to me like a sore thumb. Anything for you, Kevin?
I like Peter Uline a little bit.
Yeah. Potty Harrington's at 78, by the way. Just going to throw that out there. That's an interesting one. Yeah, Percy. Percy seems pretty good. He likes to play these kind of the Bermudas, the Punta Canas. He likes these kind of events. Any other thoughts? We don't need to dig into the 6K range, but I was telling the guys before the show, if you guys have any questions, hit us up in the Slack chat. We can help you with more goodies there. But Jesse, any other thoughts on Puerto Rico?
Most definitely. Smiley Kaufman, $6,300.
Oh, wow. That is dirt cheap.
Oh, God. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's won as recently as like 2016. So, you know, I'm and he's also 300-1, you know, if you want to throw a buck on that, you know, I wouldn't blame you. I hope he's back. I'll be rooting for my boy Smiley this week.
What about you, Kevin? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, if I play anyone at all, if I build a lineup, I'm starting with J-Wag, going with Johnson Wagner, and Jay Bird, Jonathan Bird. He typically does well at these.
Bird does like these. I remember seeing him. Like, if it's a windy, Bo Hosser's at 73, Lahiri's 73. Like, there's some guys down here. Halfie Barnrat's at 72. Don't let Ruby see this because Spawn's at 71. There's a lot of other ones, but now that you mention Wags, I got to ask you because you know Wags, the porn stash and the old school Budweiser hat. Is this like a game he's playing, or is this like a legit thing? Because I think it's electric.
Pretty good look, isn't it?
It's amazing. When it was, what was it, Punta Cana or Bermuda? And I remember turning on the TV and he's like, you see this hat coming above the bunker and here comes Wags. Like, what in the world am I watching? did Kenny Bowers hit the PGA Tour?
He's on that that PAC committee with Rory now too. So that's a pretty interesting combo.
That's a hell of a combo. Yeah. So Yeah, pretty cool stuff there. But we'll wrap it up with that. Kevin, closing thoughts, WGC, or give us a little – well, before we do, Jesse and I do this pretty much every WGC, but what's your strategy for a no-cut event?
For a no-cut event like this, I'm probably going to be a little bit more balanced. Obviously, it's going to be a huge deal to have the winner, but when it comes to finishing positions, you don't want to have too many guys in that low $7,000, $6,000 range that are going to finish near the bottom of the leaderboard anyway. You got to have a lot of guys that finish near the top. So try and be a little bit more balanced and pick those guys who are used to cashing top tens for you.
What about you, Jesse, on an event we don't even know the golf course, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm going to scale back this week. I'm not going to play as much as out like I did last week or anything. So it's a lot more fun, in my opinion, to play showdown lineups, especially Saturday, Sunday, if you're sitting around watching golf. So save a little bit of money for that.
Especially then you'll have at least a little bit of an idea of how the course plays. So you can kind of tinker with that a little bit. Like you said earlier, I kind of do three maxes more here. We've been doing the cascade on the other events, but I'll kind of temper it here. Maybe I'll get weird and do a cascade on the Puerto Rico just for fun. No, I'm kidding. But, I like what Kevin said, because usually we just look for birdie. But with this course, as tough as it is, finishing position is going to be like tremendously important compared to normal. So getting those guys that you know that can grind out like a T20, T15, T10 or something, getting a bunch of those could be pretty darn good compared to – we used to always make the joke where Finau would finish 15th, but he'd be like fourth in DK scoring. I don't know if we're going to get a lot of that this week. I really don't. So that could be a little trickier. But that'll do it for this week. Always a fun show. Kevin, thanks for joining us. As always, we'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, the Masters is like 42 days away, Kevin.
Yeah, I can feel it.
Go ahead and pencil that in.
Are you going, Kevin? Aren't they having spectators?
No, they are having spectators.
Limited, very limited.
Yeah, PGA members, we're not getting in for free this year.
That's where I get jealous of a lot of the things you get to do. But that's one of my biggest ones when you said, yeah, I just get to go flash my badge. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's disappointing. But hopefully, I guess 2022.
Hopefully we'll be back to normal. Just another year off here. But one of my buddies whose dad's been a – had worked down there for 25 years, gets tickets every year. They didn't get tickets this year. So,
damn. Well, soon enough. But check out Kevin on Twitter at Kevin's Delight. He'll have his best bets out for the week as always at fantasydegens.com. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Intrick. As always, thanks for listening. This is your WGC Workday Championship preview. Catch you guys later.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.